From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message called The Spirit's Primary Work in the Christian. The text is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, where Paul wrote, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Dr. Cairns has been explaining what the things God has given us are, and how the Holy Spirit makes these things real in the experience of God's people. And as he has been emphasizing, an understanding of this text is absolutely vital to everything in our Christian lives. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, once again, we're glad to introduce the Reverend Colin Mercer, who has recently accepted a call to become the senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville. Today, Reverend Mercer comments on a recent act of vandalism revealing the Bible, defaced but not destroyed.
It was with great dismay that I read the story of the defacing of the scriptures in Glasgow's Gallery of Modern Art. As part of the show entitled Made in God's Image, a Bible was left for visitors to add their reflections. Artist Jane Clark of the Metropolitan Community Church asked visitors to annotate the Bible with stories and reflections as a way of making it more inclusive. But the reaction was not what she had expected. Shortly after the exhibition opened, the Bible was defaced with offensive and foul-mouthed scrawl. The artist has since commented on the vandalism. She said, "I had hoped that people would show respect for the Bible, for Christianity, and indeed for the Gallery of Modern Art. I am saddened that some people have chosen to write offensive messages." She continued, "As a young Christian, I was encouraged by my church to write my own insights in the margins of the Bible I use for my daily devotions. This was an extension of that idea." Such a story highlights the view many have of the Word of God. The Scriptures are neither respected nor reverenced. They are despised and discarded as if they were nothing. While such an event makes the headlines, it is not new. Soon after God had created Adam and Eve, Satan came to them in the Garden of Eden and cast doubt upon the Word of God. He said in Genesis 3, verses 1 through to 4, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." What did that amount to but the very first attack upon the Word of God? Satan sought to turn Adam and Eve away from the truth. He despised the message God had given. He wanted our first parents to rebel against the Lord. He had no desire that they should take heed to the message or to the covenant. Satan hasn't changed. For in a very real way, every attack upon the Scriptures ever since that has followed a similar pattern. Satan is the great denier, doubter, and distorter of Scripture. And that event in Scotland bears all the hallmarks of his work. As I considered that attack upon the Scriptures, I was forced to think of man's ongoing rebellion against God. What motivates a person to deface the Scripture? To write in anger, to use foul language, to defy God in this way? The answer? A heart that's full of sin and wickedness. Scripture makes it clear that man is far from God. He is at war with God. He is a spiritual rebel. Psalm 2 speaks of those who defy the Lord's anointed. That's what lies behind the evil, sinful actions of man. As Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is no telling what the sinful heart of man is capable of. Furthermore, I've had to consider that man's actions in defiance of the Scripture reveal his own recklessness and irrational approach to spiritual things. Let's face this, the Word of God contains the greatest message any man could ever read. It is honest, direct, and deals with the greatest need of his soul. Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember, the scriptures expose our sin and exalt the Savior. A man needs to understand his dreadful spiritual state before God and realize that there is no other way of salvation for him but that which is presented in the scriptures, namely salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The words of Holy Scripture present Christ, and he is the only Savior of men. Yet, what do men in their recklessness and sin do? They tear and deface the Bible. It's worse than a dying man tearing a prescription that if taken would save his life. Man's approach to the Scriptures reveals the truth of Proverbs 8:36. But he that sinneth against the Lord wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. One other thing to remember, no attack of man can ever succeed in destroying the Word of God. Men have tried it for years, burning, prohibiting, outlawing, and refusing the Scriptures. But God's Word still stands unshaken and unshakable. The pages of the Bible may be defaced, but the message of the Bible can never be destroyed. In the Old Testament, one man cut the Word of God with a penknife and threw it into the fire. But the Word was not lost and the message was not changed. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It will not pass away. His promises will be fulfilled. His judgment will come. His people will be saved, and all shall know that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is the Bible read and believed that makes a nation great. Sadly, there are few great nations today.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Received the Spirit which is of God, in order that with total certainty we may perceive the fullness of the gospel of the grace of God given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, without this work of the Holy Spirit, you'd never have been saved. You would never come to Christ because you could never see anything in Him. Doesn't Isaiah 53 teach that? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. Why do sinners sit in their sin? Why do sinners crucify the Son of God afresh? Why do they reject the gospel? Why do they mock the word of God? Why do they sit with a hard heart and a steely conscience? Why can they simply shrug off the claims of Christ and the matters of eternity? I'll tell you why. It's what Paul says here a little earlier in this chapter. They don't know. They can't see Jesus Christ. When they see Him, when they hear of Him, there is no beauty in Christ that they should desire Him. And left to themselves, their wicked, carnal hearts go on in that fashion. And you and I would have been just exactly the same. But God, who is rich in mercy, working by the mighty power of His Holy Spirit, came and revealed Christ to us. He gave us light, and He gave us sight to see that light, that we may embrace Jesus Christ freely offered in the gospel. But not only that, without this ministry of the Holy Spirit making us know the gospel in all its fullness, we cannot go on with Christ. Now let's face this. We are living in a day of crippled Christianity. We're living in a day where so many people profess the name of Jesus Christ, and if they're saved, they don't ever seem to grow. They do not walk with God in any of the holiness that is set out in the Word of God. They do not enjoy Jesus Christ. Church and Bible and prayer and witnessing, these are matters of duty. These are matters that just have to be put up with. They are miseries. Now, my friend, if you're in this meeting this morning and Christianity is a misery to you, either you are not saved or for this reason you are not going on with God. And the reason why people who are saved do not go on with God is that they are not seeing the fullness and the freeness of God's provision of Jesus Christ for them in every situation of life. Now, the devil is always trying to remove Christians from this basis. Much of the New Testament is taken up with this. He's getting them away from the freeness of the gospel or the fullness of the gospel. In one way or another. You remember Acts 15? The Judaizers tried to inject into the early church the idea that except a man be circumcised after the custom of Moses, he couldn't be saved. He wanted, the devil wanted the early church to be derailed from a free salvation by free grace, received by faith alone without works. Did that not happen also in the churches of Galatia? Isn't that what the whole Galatian epistle is about? The devil trying to get the church away from the fullness and the freeness of the gospel. The same thing can be said for Colossians. The same thing can be said for the people to whom John wrote his first epistle. And certainly the same thing can be said here in the city of Corinth. These people were feeling to live and enjoy Jesus Christ. Oh, they were Christians in name. And it would appear, in fact, they were saved people. But they were not living the Christian life. There's nothing sadder than to see a person who's saved and he's not living for Jesus Christ. Nothing sadder than to see a person who's saved and he doesn't have any joy in the Lord. And he's just drifting in a miserable condition. And nothing can ever make him happy. And I tell you this, if you can be happy apart from Jesus Christ, man, woman, young person, you are not a Christian. I want to get that through to you. If you can be happy without reference to Jesus Christ, if you can live your life day after day, week after week, and you can go on and just be content and happy in this world without reference to Christ, you are yet in your sins and you need to be saved. But there are so many people, and they're not happy in the Lord, and they're certainly not happy in the world. And whatever they do, my, it's tinged with regret, it's tinged with sorrow, it's got the bitterness of disappointment and disillusionment. The sweetest things of life lose their savor and their joy. And I tell you, my friend, it is usually the reason that God's people in that condition have lost sight of Jesus Christ and of His gospel. And though they say they believe the facts of the gospel, they are not living in the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the situation Paul sets out to correct in 1 Corinthians. If you look at this book, you'll find that the key, I believe, the key to the whole book is in verse 30 of chapter 1. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. And then you have four things: wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those are the things that Christ is made unto us. Those are the dimensions, as it were, of the gospel. Here is the fullness of God's provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul develops this book, you'll find that the very structure of the book follows these four points. He preaches Christ, the wisdom of God. Our wisdom, dealing with the mind that is beset by the world's thinking. Now let's be honest, we are being bombarded as Christians with the world's philosophy. We are being bombarded by the world's ideologies and the world's thinking. You cannot get away from it. It's on every hand. And it is getting through to the people of God. Christians today are drifting in their behavior, they're drifting in their standards, they're drifting even in their beliefs, because they are drifting in their thinking. The solid sheet anchor of the child of God in this world where his thinking is being bombarded by the forces of hell is the wisdom of the gospel. And the wisdom of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is Christ crucified. My friend, we must never in our philosophy, in our thinking, we must never get beyond the cross. The Holy Spirit has the job, therefore, of coming and showing us the folly of the world and the wisdom of the gospel. That deals with the mind. Then he speaks of righteousness. That deals with guilt. As we are beset by Satan's accusations, there are lots of Christians, maybe some here this morning, and they are halting, stumbling through the Christian life because they are beset by the accusations of the devil. There is a welling up of guilt within them. This is something that is not sufficiently understood. Preachers don't understand it. Preachers think that if they can work on people's guilt, Christians' guilt now I'm talking about, if they can just make them feel guilty enough, then they'll do a good job and make them holy. My friend, it's one thing to feel your guilt, it's one thing to know the accusation of the devil, but it's a totally different thing to get the victory over it and live in holiness. How do you get the victory over it? By seeing Christ as your righteousness. Seeing Him as your righteousness. Seeing Him in the shedding of His blood as God's answer to every accusation of the devil. Oh, it's one thing, my friend, to feel your wretchedness, but what a joyously different thing it is to get to the cross and there in the shed blood, know the Holy Spirit witnessing to your heart, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Christ died. Christ rose. Christ ascended. Christ intercedes. Thank God. God has no charge to lay to the people of God. You know, when the Holy Spirit witnesses of Christ your righteousness, it brings the greatest freedom into your life. There is no other single act of the Holy Spirit that ever brings such freedom of conscience, freedom of mind, freedom of activity, joy in service, usefulness to God, as this one act where he brings you to the cross and he lets you see that Jesus Christ is your righteousness and there is no accusation that God will entertain against you, that you're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.